Hi, this is Morgan Michael welcoming you to Kindsight 101, the podcast, where you'll hear from world-renowned educational leaders about the mobilizing power of kindness. I believe that we all have an innate need to be seen, heard, and understood. When we dedicate ourselves to kindness, the ripple effects in our schools can be life-changing. Through this podcast, I want to challenge you to question your assumptions, amplify your insight, and embrace a willingness to go beyond the status quo in education. Together, let's learn how to make a big impact, one small act at a time. We all know that it feels good to be kind, and my guest today talks about the ways in which our bodies have been wired for generosity. She explains the surprising neuroscience which proves, once again, that contribution is nature's most effective antidepressant. This is a must-watch mini-episode for any teacher or parent wanting to understand the benefits of explicitly teaching altruism, and for those wanting to start the 21-Day Kindness Challenge. Hope you enjoy. Dr. Shimmy Kang is an award-winning, Harvard-trained doctor, researcher, media expert, best-selling author, and speaker. Her books, The Dolphin Way and The Dolphin Parent, are number one bestsellers. And she also has a new title out, The Self-Motivated Kid, How to Raise a Healthy, Happy Child Who Knows What They Want and Goes After It Without Being Told. She is also the founder of Dolphin Pod School and Dolphin Kids Achievement Programs, which are designed to develop mindset and life skills to help you achieve your dreams. Dr. Kang can be found on social media at Dr. Shimmy Kang. For more information about Dr. Kang, her amazing schools, books, or resources, visit drshimmykang.com or my website, smallactbigimpact.com, and search for episode 5. Thanks for listening. I want to thank you for the wonderful reviews that you've left for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews make a big difference in helping other educators find this show. If you think that I'm doing good work here and you'd like others to get inspired and join our 21-Day Kindness Challenge and movement, I'd love it if you would take a minute, head over to iTunes, and leave a review. Thank you so much. I'd love to dig into some of the neurobiology behind kindness, if you can, because you are obviously an expert on this. And what I've heard and how I've connected it is that the kindness piece in our life and inviting kindness and acting genuinely with a kind heart and a kind approach can actually offset some of the damaging effects of stress. So that's really what this Small Act, Big Impact 21-Day Kindness Challenge is all about. It's dedicated to creating habits of kindness within our schools and communities and workplaces, because we know that that kindness piece is contagious and reciprocal and that it can reduce the overall symptoms of stress. So I'd love to hear you speak about this a little bit and how important it is not only to develop sort of this kindness mindset, but also the habit that goes along with it, because it's not, I don't believe that one-off kindness gestures are really the ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the neurobiology is really interesting, because I say this is natural to humans. Kindness is hardwired in us. So, and again, when you think way back where humans came from, we needed to be very tight-knit in our communities. At one point, there was no such things as an ambulance or a school or a hospital or any kind of infrastructure. It was just people helping each other and being driven to do that biologically and through societal norms. So the human brain actually rewards kindness through two different neurochemicals. The first one is what we call the helper's high. So when we do something that helps someone else, an act of kindness, we get a little hit of dopamine. And dopamine gives us a sense of pleasure immediately. It gives us that little helper's high, and we feel kind of good. We get a little bit lighter in our step, and I don't know anyone who's helped someone or done something kind and then just feels terrible, right?
Right.
we feel good. So there's dopamine, and that's the initial drive. And that one also is linked to rewards. So people, because it's immediate, they associate kindness with feeling good, which is Mother Nature's or biology's way to remind us to do this again. Next time you're feeling down, or next time you want a little hit of this great feeling, do something nice for someone. Mm. So that's that immediate reward. And then the secondary reward comes in a cascade response over time. And that's where acts of kindness that are cumulative or daily really add up. And that comes from the neurochemical serotonin, which is a happiness kind of chemical, let's say. You know, we use it a lot in the antidepressants are modulated through serotonin. Mm. And that one isn't immediate, but over time, you know, that's where we see the feeling of not that immediate pleasure, but that feeling of well-being, that feeling of connection, that feeling of groundedness that may come when you are a regular contributor to your society and your community. So it's really profound neurobiology, and that's very simple. I definitely haven't captured all of the complexity of it, but I think it is important to know that I say kindness and contribution. These are nature's most powerful antidepressant. We are heavily rewarded for these with dopamine and serotonin, things that are driving us to remember to do it again and also maintaining our personal health and well-being. And then along that, we see physical health effects as well. We know people who regularly contribute have better heart profiles, less heart disease. We know that seniors who volunteer generally live longer. Some of the studies are showing up to 5 years longer and less rates of infection and flu-like symptoms. So there really is an impact both on the mind and the body.
That's such a wonderful thing to really dig into. I think it's neat because, I mean, we all know that kindness is good, but I think when we understand what it does to our bodies in terms of turning some of the negative things sideways and even developing this really ingrained change in our brain is how I understand it as well, is this, that the more you do it and the longer, more long-term it is, the more it changes the actual structure of our brain. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I write prescriptions for all kinds of sleep medications and ADD meds and antidepressants. And I write a prescription for kindness, for contribution, for community on a prescription pad.
Wow.
And I give it to my patients and I say, I want you to do this every day, just like you may take the medication every day. And you have to take the med every day for 6 weeks before we know antidepressants work. Very similar. This is a activity that has known antidepressant qualities and no side effects, right? So that's the good thing.
Absolutely. And can you talk a little bit, because this is certainly not my area of expertise, but I've heard about this hormone oxytocin, that connection love hormone. Does that factor in somehow, and how does it factor in?
So oxytocin, yeah, it's our hormone of bonding and trust. And it actually gets released when we show empathy. And so it's embedded in this concept. So it is released by the individual who's showing empathy and the person who's receiving empathy. And that bonds them. So, for example, let's say, you know, some kids are playing soccer or on the street and a teammate gets hurt. And another teammate will run over to that person and be like, are you okay? Do you want a glass of water? Let me help you up. And they're showing empathy. And what happens in that moment is both of those young people's brains are going to release oxytocin, and they are going to have a feeling of well-being, a little bit of that connection and trust and bonding within that act. So oxytocin is kind of an additive, you know, it makes this all even more powerful, but we do know that it is released when we are empathic, and we're meant to be empathic, and that's why it's so powerfully rewarded for us.
Thank you for that. Can you speak a little bit to the contagious nature of kindness as it relates perhaps to this concept of mirror neurons? And I know that there's been some sort of, you know, differing opinions about mirror neurons, but can you just talk a little bit about your professional, you know, opinion about that research and science?
Yeah, so all humans have mirror neurons, and I haven't personally researched mirror neurons. From what I've understood is they are activated when we are in social settings to drive us towards empathy. So I think an example of what might be in mirror neuron is, let's say you're walking and somebody beside you is about to hit their head on a low-level beam, let's say. You're going to duck and you're going to get them to duck. Meaning you're just going to move your hand over their head to have them duck. So your behavior will mirror their behavior or vice versa. And again, that's a on the outside, you look at that, it's like, oh, that's a nice thing to do. But it's actually driven in our subconscious, actually. We're not really choosing to do this. It's we will do it automatically because it's hardwired in us. So mirror neurons are activated when people aren't even voluntarily activating them. So it's a pretty fantastic understanding of what I would say humans, we are very social beings. Our brain is highly social. And that's why I use the metaphor of the dolphin.
Yes.
They're the only other animal that is so social. The real estate area for social connection, empathy, mirror neurons, all of this is very large. But we've forgotten how to be human. We've forgotten our own humanity. So this is true for many mammal brains, and definitely true for humans.
This has been another episode of Kindsight 101, the podcast. For links to resources mentioned in this episode, visit smallactbigimpact.com and click on our podcast and choose this episode number. Now, I'd love to give my audience a heads up about my new book, which will provide ideas, actionable strategies, and inquiry-based approaches to creating kinder classroom through serving the community. Subscribe to my blog for more information. Now, I would love to hear from you. What's the biggest insight that you gain from this conversation? Head over to our website, smallactbigimpact.com, leave a comment on our podcast page, or tag and connect with us on social media with the hashtag #SmallActBigImpact to share your inspiring story of kindness. Can't wait to hear from you.